A bright white light shines out from the center of a black screen. The screen lightens to reveal clouds in a blue sky. The light is held aloft by a statuesque woman wearing a long white robe with a blue sash draped around her. She stands on a raised plinth before the cloudy sky. Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Columbia Pictures presents, in association with Relativity Media, a nominated film's production. Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. A handsome, sandy, blonde-haired man in a suit wears a headset. He looks around a busy backstage area.
Mr. Cox? Mr. Cox? Mr. Cox? Guys, I need Cox.
He descends a stairwell.
He goes on in 2 minutes, and I can't find him.
He peers into a room before stepping into a darkened hallway.
Mr. Cox.
Dewey leans against the wall.
Mr. Cox?
You're going to have to give him a moment, son. Dewey Cox needs to think about his entire life before he plays.
Dewey raises his head slowly. Springberry, Alabama, 1946. A clapboard farmhouse and barn sit amongst fields of yellow and white flowers. Sunlight streams into a rustic living room where young Dewey watches his brother Nate play a tattered piano recklessly. Nate grimaces as his hands fly into the air off the keyboard and his feet press the pedals wildly.
Come on, Nate, let's go play.
I can't, Dewey. I got practice.
You can't practice all the time, Nate. You're already perfect.
All right.
Come on, Dewey. Let's go play.
Today's gonna be the best day ever.
Yeah. Ain't nothing horrible gonna happen today.
On a country lane.
What do you want to be when you grow up, Dewey?
I don't know. Never really think about it before.
When I grow up, I'm going to be a great composer and professional baseball player. Then, I'm going to be an astronaut and I'm going to go to the moon. There's nothing I won't do in this long, long life of mine.
For sure.
That's what's great about being young. There's so much time to do great things. Let's go play.
From a fence, Dewey watches Nate sprint through a field away from a bull. Nate grabs a coiled-up rattlesnake and tosses it at Dewey.
I got him! I got him! Catch! Run for the rock, chicken!
Nate gallops on a horse towards Dewey. Dewey drives at him with a tractor. In a barn, Nate lowers safety goggles and attacks a piece of metal with a blowtorch. He stands beside a sculpture of a giraffe proudly. Nate tosses Dewey a sheathed machete.
I challenge you to a duel, sir.
I don't know, Nate. You know how mad Paul gets when we play with his machetes.
Come on, Dewey. There's nothing wrong with a little machete fighting. Now, on guard!
The boys swing at each other's machetes.
Do you yield, sir?
Never!
They duel in the barn.
Prepare to meet your maker.
Raising his machete, the sheath flies off. Dewey severs Nate's body, his torso landing upright on the ground next to his legs.
Dewey! Nate!
I'm halved!
Oh, we should have listened to Paul.
Dewey, I'm cutting half pretty bad. In case I don't make it, then you have to be double great for the both of us.
Wow, that's a lot of pressure, Nate.
You can handle it, Dewey. Now run, get Paul!
Dewey drops the machete and Nate's legs fall over.
Holy shit.
Rubbing his chin, the doctor faces the family.
This was a particularly bad case of somebody being cut in half. I was not able to reattach the top half of his body to the bottom half of his body.
Speak English, Doc. We ain't scientists.
I'm sorry, folks. He's gone.
Pa turns to Dewey, sitting apart from them.
It's all your fault, Dewey Cox.
Oh, Paul, you don't mean that. It's not his fault. He cut him in half with a machete. You're not half the boy that Nate was. You're not even half the boy that the top half of Nate was after you cut him in half.
So you're saying I'm less than a quarter of the boy Nate was?
The wrong kid died.
Dewey raises his arms and sniffs his armpits.
Well, I can't smell anything.
You can't smell anything.
I think I lost my sense of smell.
You gone smell blind, son.
It'll pass, Dewey. Now, you run on down to the country store and get us some butter. And a candle.
He goes.
We're gonna light us a candle tonight.
An elderly black man plays the blues.
I'm a gambling man. I gamble everywhere I go.
Turning away from the old shopkeeper, Dewey crosses to the back room where the blues player and another man sit amongst bales of hay. Dewey leans against a wooden pillar and nods his head to the rhythm of the blues.
I've never heard no music like that before. It's so sad.
That's why it's called the blues, boy.
I think I like to play me some blues.
Ain't no six-year-old boy understand the true meaning of the blues.
I reckon I might.
You play the guitar?
Never have before, but I'm a real fast learner.
Well, go ahead.
Taking the guitar, Dewey plops down on a hay bale.
Now put your finger right up there. Place your hands down. That's it. That's the G chord. Now hit the strings with your other hand.
Dewey adjusts his fingering.
That's it.
There you go. Yeah, just like that.
With closed eyes, Dewey sings.
I've done a bad thing. Cut my brother in half.
It's not bad for you first time.
You can do it, Dewey. You'll be double great for the both of us.
Looking up, Dewey smiles at Nate, standing in front of the door's stacked shelves. The guitar casts a shadow on the dusty wooden floor. Springbury High School Talent Show, 1953.
Dewey?
Ma searches backstage.
Dewey?
A boy practices juggling.
Dewey?
Mama, you made it!
There's my favorite 14-year-old son.
Oh, no, come on now, not in front of the fellas. Oh.
Howdy, boys.
Howdy, Mrs. Koss.
I just wanted to say, break a leg. I know you boys are going to play a real good song.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
I'm just so proud you learned to play the guitar so good. Without even having a sense of smell.
It's all right now, Mama. I learned how to play by ear.
You just go out there and sing your heart out, you hear?
I will, Mama.
On stage, a girl tap dances in a spotlight. Dewey has a jowly face and looks like he's in his 40s. He stands with his band, watching her from the wings.
How am I going to follow that?
Montgomery, everybody. Lila Montgomery.
Very nice.
And now sophomore Dewey Cox is going to sing us a song. So, ladies and germs. I know, I know. Please welcome Dewey Cox and the Dewey Cox Four.
Wearing red cardigans and bow ties, Dewey and his band saunter on stage. Pa sits rigidly amongst the crowd.
Hi, my name's Dewey Cox, and this is a little song I wrote called Take My Hand. I sure hope you like it.
The wrong kid died, goddammit.
Young people stand and begin to dance. Three girls eye Dewey seductively. A man in horn-rimmed glasses rises in protest.
This music is an outrage!
The three girls rip open their tops, revealing lacy bras.
It's the devil's music!
A boy punches the minister and is punched back. A man vomits. Dewey's ma glances at Pa.
And you're a girl, but make no mistake. This is the hand I want to take, so.
Dewey points to Edith, a dark-haired girl sitting amongst the brawling crowd. A mob wielding pitchforks and signs that read Satan's music gather outside the Cox house.
That's it. I want you out of this house, boy.
How?
You heard the preacher.
You think we don't know what you're talking about when you say, take my hand?
What do you mean? It's about holding hands.
You watch your mouth.
You know who's got hands? The devil. And he uses them for holding.
I ain't got no room in my house for no devil spawn.
Oh, you be careful now, you hear? Before you go and say something you're gonna regret for the rest of your days.
Like what? Like the wrong kid died?
Oh, no!
It's okay. It's okay, Mama. Settle down.
Pa's right. Springbury ain't big enough for me no more. I reckon it's time for Dewey Cox to move on.
But you're only 14.
Mama, I love you. But I don't need nobody. All I need is my music. I seen my path today, and I'm gonna take it. And someday, I'll make my masterpiece. And you'll all be proud of me. Just like you were of Nate.
Can I come, Dewey?
Of course you can, Edith. You're my girlfriend.
I am?
Yes, silly. I pointed at you in the audience.
Did you hear that? I'm Dewey's 12-year-old girlfriend! You're the most talented man I've ever seen in my whole life. And you will never get anything but unconditional love and support from me. For you and your dreams, for the rest of my life.
Well, then go on. Get out of this house, before I cut your dreams in half like you cut mine in half.
Goodbye, Pa. Just wait till you see what happens now.
In Leroy's lounge...
Here we go!
The dance floor is packed with people wildly swing dancing. Dewey, wearing a hairnet over a DA and a janitor's uniform, watches Bobby Shadd perform on the stage. The patrons dance in an overly lascivious fashion, miming sexual acts. A man places his face in a woman's crotch. From the edge of the dance floor, Dewey mimics Bobby's performance, using a mop handle as a prop microphone.
My name is Bobby Shadd, and these are the band men. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back to rock till the morning light, all right?
Dewey runs after the band backstage.
Mr. Shadd, wow, that was really great. Hey, you know, I'll play a little guitar, and if you ever need an extra guitar... Yes, sir?
I pay you to mop the floor, not bother the band. My customers come here to dance erotically, and they need a clean floor to do it on. Now, you go do your job, or I'll find somebody who will.
Yes, sir.
Dewey practices at home.
Dewey, will you cut out that racket? I'm trying to feed your child.
How am I supposed to make it as a famous musician if I don't practice?
You stop talking about that music!
But it's my dream, baby.
Daddy said that if we move back home, he could give you a permanent job at the slaughterhouse. You can make an honest living. You wouldn't have to hang your head in shame, walking around like some kind of a failure.
Well, I think I'm doing okay for a 15-year-old with a wife and a baby.
Ain't no musician ever made no money, Dewey.
Edith, I am starting to think that maybe you don't believe in me.
I do believe in you. I just know you're gonna fail.
What are you talking about, Edith?
What about my dreams?
Edith, I told you, I can't build you a candy house. Good. It will fall down. The sun will melt the candy. It won't work.
It will if it never rains.
Now, you listen to me. I'm going to make this dream come true. Nobody ever said it's going to be easy. It's hard.
It ain't easy to walk to the top of a mountain. It's a long, hard walk. It's a rocky road. But I plan on walking. Oh, I'm gonna walk. Hard.
He stares at her.
I will walk hard.
He glances off into the distance.
Walk hard.
Confused, Edith turns to see what he's looking at. At Leroy's lounge.
I got a full house coming tonight. If Bobby Shadd can't play, I need to find someone who can.
I'm fine. I can play through the pain.
And maybe you should have thought about this before you punch your landlord while you got the laryngitis.
I guess just no music tonight, boss.
Mulhickey! People come here to dance erotically. I ain't got no music. I ain't got no nightclub.
Excuse me.
They turn to Dewey.
I play a little.
I don't know how to tell you this, boy. You're white. This crowd will eat you alive.
I've been watching Mr. Shadd every night. I know all the songs. It'll be the same show. It'll be just like Bobby Shadd and the Bad Men, only be me tonight.
This is crazy.
Dewey shrugs.
But
I ain't got no other choice.
Dewey tunes his guitar backstage.
I don't mean to put more pressure on you, boy. The suits from the record company just got here.
He points at three Hasidic Jewish men with long sideburns and hats.
Oh, okay.
Scared?
Dewey shrugs.
A little.
Well, you should be.
Those Jews control show business.
Just lay it down exactly like Bobby does.
Dewey sighs.
Good evening. We're Bobby Shad and the Bad Man. I'm Dewey Cox. Bobby Shad couldn't be here tonight, so I'm going to do his show for you. And I hope you enjoy it. This first song we're fitting to do is, it's about, it's about when your woman catches you. You know, she catches you running around town, getting in all kind of strange. And she says, son, get your lazy two-timing Negro ass up out of here. And you say to her,
you got to love the Negro man. You got to love the Negro man. Ooh, you got to love the Negro man.
The hostile crowd softens, and they begin to strut to the dance floor. One of the Jewish men nods his head.
From early in the morning to late at night, you know I love your apples when they take your bite.
The black crowd dances erotically. Despite being the only white man in the club, Dewey looks right at home on stage.
I like what you did out there tonight. Have you ever made a recording?
Oh, Mr. Lachaim, Mr. Mazel Tov, that's been my dream.
He's not the one you want. I'm the one you want.
I think he's the one we want.
He's got a nice thing.
He's not so bad with the singing and the playing and the shaking of the tukas.
I think you've got what it takes to make it in the big time.
The big time?
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
In the recording studio...
What the hell is this?
Pizza pie. What's in a pizza pie?
The producer grimaces.
All right, hopefully you stop that. Stop your singing. Stop your singing this instant, young man. I will not have this in my studio.
Maybe it was the wrong song choice. If you would just let me play one of my songs that I wrote, I think you'd like it a whole lot better.
You have failed conclusively. It's over. And there is nothing that you can do here in this room that can turn that around. Nothing you can do that can make up for what you just did to that Samore.
Well, my mother liked it a whole lot.
Your mother was wrong. I was willing to open my mind because these Jewish gentlemen brought you in here. They usually have good taste. And now here you are in front of me, pretending you can sing. And I have to say that today, your performance has shaken my belief in the Jewish people.
Well, there's nothing I would like more, sir, than to restore your faith in Judaism right now. If you could just give me that shot.
But I'll tell you, you have failed so far. And if somehow you were able to sing a song now, bringing these boys together who you haven't even met, and make something so personal, so new, that the whole world takes notice, and that your life is never the same again. But I'm telling you right now, I don't think it's going to happen.
Wait. We're here already. What could it possibly hide?
L'chaim, I'll do it for you, but just one more song.
L'chaim sits back.
All right, son. I'm going to give you 15 more seconds.
Thank you, sir. I hope you won't regret it.
Dude, we don't know this song.
You just follow me.
Theo and Dave look bewildered. Dewey turns to Sam, the drummer from Bobby Shad's band, nods and begins.
Walk hard, hard.
Walk hard.
Down life's rocky road.
Men peer in to listen as kids gather on the street outside.
Hard, that's my creed, my code.
I've been scorned and slandered and ridiculed too. Had to struggle every day my whole life through.
The producer and the Jews dance in the booth.
But I still got a dream and a burning rage to live.
Walk hard.
In a smoky radio studio.
When
Mace.
Here's America's new hit song, Walk Hard, recorded just 35 minutes ago by Dewey Cox.
A jukebox is turned up and teenagers bop and twist in a diner. Dewey strides coolly out of a building and is mobbed by screaming girls holding his single. Pa glumly watches Ma and Dewey's sister dance in the farmhouse.
Gotta keep that vision in your mind's eye when you're standing on top of a mountain high.
Walk Hard is fourth in a newspaper listing of the best-selling singles. Dewey and his band pose for photos. A girl pins up a picture of Dewey.
He walks so hard!
How do I walk, boys?
Dewey receives a new car from the record company. Edith waits in their new one-story house with her eyes closed. Dewey holds a monkey in his arms. Walk Hard hits number one in the charts. Dewey hosts a dinner party in his new dining room, and a giraffe nibbles at his meal.
Oh, hey, Shorty. Mm-hmm. Hello, my darling. Yeah. I sang a song at a circus in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. They said, well, we'll give you $5,000. I said, no, no, you won't. You'll give me that giraffe. And they did. They gave it right there.
That is one beautiful giraffe. Yeah.
Thank you.
A few weeks, Edith.
Who's gonna help me take care of the children? Dewey, you have got to give up this dream. You're never gonna make it. Give it up, Dewey.
What are you talking about? I got a number one hit on the radio. I mean, I'm playing my music where people want to hear me. It's everything we always wanted, Edith.
I never get to see you anymore. Your kids never get to see you.
I don't know how to tell you this. I'm gonna miss some things, okay? I'm gonna miss some birthdays and some christenings. I'm gonna miss some births, period. Okay? Just unrealistic to think I'm gonna be here for every time you have a baby. But aren't you happy? You have a beautiful new home, all your fancy new clothes, and your monkey and your giraffe. Look, what else you need? How about I get you a crow that could talk? And I'll teach him phrases that I say. Good morning, honey. But it'll be a little crow talking.
This ain't about no exotic pets. It's about love, you stupid piece of shit. Dewey.
Hello.
How are we supposed to follow that?
Don't worry, Dewey. You'll do great.
Oh, thanks, Buddy Holly.
If you don't, I'll pick it right back up. You got nothing to worry about.
Oh, thank you. Man, I'm awful nervous, Buddy Holly.
Dewey, you'll be fine, or my name's not Buddy Holly.
Hey, guys, change of plans. Elvis wants to get out of here early. He's hungry. So we're going to change the order. After the Big Bopper, it's going to be Buddy Holly, then Elvis Presley, and then you, Dewey Cox.
So it's the Big Bopper, and then Buddy Holly, and then Elvis Presley, and then me?
Yeah, just for tonight.
Well, I'm just happy to be here.
Dewey turns away, his face contorting as though he might cry. Later, he waits in the wings as Elvis runs past him off stage.
Dang, Elvis Presley, you didn't have to rile him up like that.
What now?
No,
excuse me, what?
I'm just saying, we gotta follow that and...
Listen to this right now. There's two things you need to know.
Uh-huh.
I'm the king. And number two is, look out, man, look at that, they're coming at you, you see that? It's called karate, man, and only two kinds of people know it. The Chinese and the king. And one of them is me.
You're the king.
So now, come on, man, come on, sitting around there now. Walking around, sit around, so look out, man. Look at this, some long game, sir, man.
Well, thanks, Elvis.
Well, I'm on it, man, come on. Let's go. Come on, buddy.
He leaves.
What the fuck was he talking about? How y'all doing? My name's Dewey Cox. Hey, listen, folks. I'd like to play a song I wrote for a very special lady. I'm talking about Mrs. Dewey Cox.
Dewey, with Teddy Boy style, his hair greased in a DA, sways and snaps his fingers, supported by three female backup singers.
I have a perfect life. You are the perfect wife. I don't know why I sit and cry, and now I miss you so. Please don't let me go. I make mistakes, and that is true. At least I learn each time I do. Darling, you must believe I could never leave you.
Dewey and his band race off stage.
Wow, great plan, boys.
The Phillies love you, Dewey.
Yeah, if I wasn't a married man with a good head on my shoulders, I don't know what I'd do.
You gotta get back out there, Dewey. They are going crazy.
All right, let me splash some water on my face. I'll be right back.
Okay, hurry up.
Golly, that rock and roll.
Sam's in a smoky room with women.
Get out of here, Dewey.
What are y'all doing in here?
We're smoking reefer, and you don't want no part of this shit.
You're smoking reefers?
Yeah, of course we are. Can't you smell it?
No, Sam, I can't.
Come on, Dewey. Join the party.
No, Dewey, you don't want this. Get out of here.
You know what? I don't want no hangover. I can't get no hangover.
It doesn't give you a hangover.
Well, I'll get addicted to it or something?
It's not habit forming.
Oh, okay, well, I don't know. I don't want to overdose on it.
You can't OD on it.
It's not going to make me want to have sex, is it?
It makes sex even better.
It sounds kind of expensive.
It's the cheapest drug there is.
Hmm.
You don't want it.
I think I kind of want it.
Okay, but just this once. Come on in.
Entering eagerly, Dewey shuts the door behind him.
What do I do?
Like this.
The pretty brunette takes a long drag of the joint, then seductively rests her arms on Dewey's shoulders and blows smoke into his mouth. Dewey inhales deeply, exhales, then smiles broadly.
Oh, my.
Well, the tour's going real great, baby. Hey, we're having a real nice time. Yeah, the boys have been playing great, and the audiences have been just wonderful, so...
When you coming home, Dewey?
Soon, baby. Real soon. We just got to hit the major markets in the Northeast and then hit Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland.
Dewey, could you shut up? I'm trying to have sex with these women down here.
Who's that?
Oh, that's Sam.
He's just looking for his drum sticks. Excuse me.
Naked people crowd the room.
Anyway, baby, you don't want to hear about all this boring stuff. How was your day?
Oh, you know, just taking care of the kids, Went down to Wilson's Market the other day to pick up some milk. He never gets there. Completely out of milk.
Hey, Dewey.
Yes, Bert?
You want a cup of coffee or something?
No, thank you.
Who's that?
Oh, that's just Bert, my roadie. Just wants to know if I want any coffee or anything like that, you know.
Dewey, there's a distance growing between us, I feel, and I don't like it.
Oh, now that is crazy talk, Edith. Come on, you know I'm just the same old Dewey.
Hey, Dewey.
Yes, Bert?
You see my sandals?
I don't know. I'm talking to my wife, Bert. Baby, there's somebody at the door. Listen, I gotta go. Can I call you when I get to New Jersey?
Okay, bye.
Okay?
Okay. I love you.
All right.
I love you.
I love you.
You're never gonna make it, okay?
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Throwing a bathrobe over his wife fronts, Dewey answers the door.
Paul?
Dewey?
What are you doing here?
It's about your mama.
Ma? What about her? Is she okay?
Naked people listen in.
We better step out into the hall. What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. We were ready and for bed when your song comes on the radio.
Miss Dewey! Your son is talented. You should be proud.
Well, I must admit, it is kind of catchy.
Dance with me, Paul.
He takes her hand and stands.
Does make you kind of want to move, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Maybe I have been kind of hard on little Dewey.
Maybe you have.
Spinning, her legs get caught in the radio cord.
Oh!
She falls out of the window.
You all right, Ma?
I'm all right.
The cord yanks the radio from the shelf and it lands on her head.
She lost her balance. And fell out the window. And then the radio crushed your head?
While she was dancing to your song. I thought you should know what your music does. It kills people. You made her happy. And it killed her. If Nate was alive, this never would have happened.
Dewey's face contorts with grief as he watches Pa around the corner. Pa returns.
Wrong kid died.
Dewey enters the bathroom where Sam kneels before a sink.
Get out of here, Dewey.
What are y'all doing in here?
It's called cocaine, and you don't want no part of this shit.
Cocaine? What's it do?
It turns all your bad feelings into good feelings.
It's a nightmare.
I'm thinking maybe I'd like to try me some of that cocaine.
This is crazy, Dewey. Ain't nobody gonna listen to music like this. You're standing there playing as fast as you can, singing like some sort of punk.
Don't you dare try to stifle me.
Whose band is this anyway, you cocksucker?
I'll punch you in the mouth.
Dewey shakes his head.
I'm sorry, Dave. No, I didn't mean that. This is with my mama dying and all. Just all twisted up inside.
Mr. Cox, I heard you were looking for a new backup singer for your new duet.
A pretty girl wears a large cross around her neck.
You heard right.
I was wondering if you might like to give me a try.
I reckon I might.
The other backup singers roll their eyes as he helps her on stage.
I've been singing in my church choir since I was a girl.
I like the sound of that.
Darlene Madison.
Dewey Cox.
Hello, Darlene.
They share a mic on stage.
Hello, Mr. Cox.
You ready to sing one?
I'm always ready.
Well, all right.
They gaze into each other's eyes.
In my dreams, you're blowing me some kisses.
That's one of my favorite things to do.
You and I could go down in history.
That's what I'm praying to do with you.
Let's do it in ways that make us feel good. Let's do it and make that sacred sound.
In the wings, he kisses her and she slaps him.
Dewey Cox, I am not that kind of woman.
Slapping him again.
All right.
Well, that doesn't mean that we still can't be friends.
Okay. Well, then here's to us being great friends.
She puckers her lips and leans in. When he leans in, she pushes him.
I can't! We're friends!
I'm gonna beat off all my demons.
They kneel in church, glancing at one another surreptitiously. Dewey bites his fist. Walking down a street, they gaze into each other's eyes, licking ice cream cones erotically.
Your eyes, I start believing.
Let's bring this whisper to a shout.
In a workshop, Darlene saws a bit of wood, moving her body in a suggestive manner. Dewey pounds a hammer, staring at her longingly. He then rubs the leg of a stool with sandpaper. They gallop on horses, staring longingly at each other as they ride.
Let's do. I just wanna make out what you're saying.
Read my lips, it's what you're looking for.
Here I am, a sneaking behind you.
You can always come in my back door.
Let's.
In a stable, Dewey helps Darlene off of her horse. They move towards each other, but Darlene pulls back.
Darlene, these last 3 weeks have been so full and wonderful. We've shared so many activities together as good friends. It's like you understand me the way nobody else ever has. I mean, if I...
He sees a long knife, its blade glinting in the sun. He staggers back to a bench.
What is it, Dewey?
I don't know. It's nothing. I'm fine.
Nothing? You look like you've seen a ghost.
He turns to her.
I got a lot of pain in me, Darlene. You should know that.
Where does all that pain come from, Dewey?
Did you ever have something that you really loved? That you accidentally...
He licks his lips.
Killed or hurt in some way?
With a machete?
No!
No, me neither. Wouldn't that be terrible, though?
How would you live with yourself?
I know, right? Exactly.
Darling, darling.
Darling hits number one in the charts.
I'm in love with you. I'm having fun with you. I'm in love with you. I'm on the run with you. I'm in love with you. And I'll be one with you one day.
The band's bus travels down a dark country road at night. Darlene lies on top of Dewey.
Thanks for letting me sleep in your bunk, Dewey.
Gotta sleep somewhere, right?
Their mouths are close.
Dewey, I can't.
I know.
We both know that the sexual tension between us is palpable. Don't you know that I wrestle with the same temptations you do? I know I shouldn't be saying this to you, Dewey, because we're not married and we're just friends. But sometimes I lie awake at night, aching for a man's touch. And by man's touch, I mean a penis in my vagina. Oh, it's just so silly.
Ah, that's so silly. Well, we better get some sleep.
Okay.
They spoon.
Take my hand, Dewey. Let's promise to never, ever give in to our lesser desires. After all, we're not married.
Newly married, they run from an empty chapel. Darlene sits in a white negligee, examining her wedding ring.
I'm ready for sex.
Dewey steps out of the bathroom, bathrobe open, his rotund belly is exposed. Darlene sits seductively on the round bed.
I've been waiting for this for so long.
Me too. From the moment I laid eyes on you.
She shimmies towards him as he, attempting seduction, awkwardly struts across the room. He stomps the ground like a horse.
Oh, my.
He leans towards her, caressing her face. Darlene turns away.
Dewey, I'm nervous.
Don't worry, Angel. I'll show you the ways of love.
She lies back and Dewey pulls down his boxer shorts.
Whoops-a-daisy!
He lifts her legs in the air.
Oh, Dewey. Surprise!
Edith!
Who are you? I'm his wife, that's who I am. No, you're not. I'm his... Good Lord, you're already married?
I can explain.
You can explain to her? You should be explaining to me. I'm the mother of your children.
It's not what it looks like.
You have children?
Darling, it's not what it looks like.
It's not what it looks like to me, or it's not what it looks like to her. Yeah, because it's got to be the way it looks like to at least one of us.
We're married. I did the right thing. It's not like we're not married.
If you're already married, you can't get married again.
I know. And that was wrong, but it's just... We were such good friends, and you told me about that dream where you were licking my balls, and that seemed like a signal, and I forgot.
I'm leaving you, Dewey Cox, and I will see you in court!
No, Edith, don't go!
He turns back to Darlene.
Oh, well, she's gone now.
I'm leaving, too. You got the order of things all backwards.
Darlene, don't go! Edith, don't go either! I made a mistake. I made a terrible mistake. Edith! Edith! Edith!
Leave me alone!
Honey, I never meant no harm to you. Edith, Cupcake! Baby, you don't know what it's like out there on the road. It's lonely out there. Edith, I can't be alone.
Okay, well, maybe you should have thought of that before you went and got double married.
Is that what this is about? Don't you stand there and judge me like I'm some kind of criminal.
You are a criminal. This is illegal, Dewey.
What do you mean it's illegal?
It's illegal to be married to two people at the same time, Dewey.
What about if you're famous? Is that... So you never done nothing you shouldn't have done to me.
What have I ever done to you?
Like that time you woke up in the middle of the night and drank up all the milk. And then I got up and had my cornflakes. There's none left.
Dewey, you cheated on me!
Oh, so I'm a cheater, but you can just drink up all the milk, and that's fine. Okay, all right, that's fine. I get it. You're innocent, and I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged.
Don't you dare write a song right now, Dewey!
You know what? Go ahead. Take the children. I don't care. All I need is my music. I don't need you. And I don't need you. And I don't need you. And I don't need you. You're just sitting there, all high and mighty in your diaper. If anything, you need me. You're a baby.
Come on, Mouse.
Don't you dare take Miles. You can take the children, but you leave me my monkey.
Fine. Goodbye, Dewey Cox.
No! No, come back! Don't leave me, Edith.
Don't leave me, Edith. There's a title for a song.
He collapses to the floor.
That's not a bad title, but please don't leave me.
He smashes the bathroom mirror and pulls the sink from the wall. Dewey sits next to Miles on the bus.
I'm telling you, I've had it. I've had it with all this crap. You took your side every time. All you care about is fruit and touching yourself. Well, fuck you.
In the bathroom.
Get out of here, Dewey. You don't want no part of this shit.
What y'all doing in here?
We doing pills, uppers and downers. They're the logical next step for you.
I want some of that shit.
On stage, Dewey gyrates.
Good morning, Your Honor. May I approach the bench?
The band wears blue and red mariachi-style outfits.
I don't give a damn what anyone thinks. I stay up all night and I smoke and I drink. I'm a wanted man and I'm blowing town. Don't waste your time trying to hunt me down.
Dewey passes out on stage. He jumps up, punching the air. He passes out.
I'm guilty as charged.
It's number one.
Does Dewey seem unhappy to you? He's changed, I tell you. He's changed.
That was early Dewey. This is middle Dewey.
Dewey, are you enjoying yourself?
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot you were here.
Hey, Dave.
You look great.
I like your girl better. Let's switch.
Well, Dewey, this is my wife.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Well, this is Kathy. Kathy, this is Dave. Come on, darling.
So where are you from?
Dave smiles uncomfortably at Kathy.
Hi there.
Guilty. I'm guilty as charged. I ain't asking God to forgive my sins. Take a good look and you'll know where I've been. I'm dancing with the devil every night and every day. People pay attention to the things that I say.
A woman has sex with Dewey, who wears sunglasses. He swigs from a bottle of alcohol.
God damn it! This is a dark fucking period!
Dewey buys drugs in an alley.
Oh, I'm guilty!
Freeze! Put your hands above your head! It's not what it looks like!
The police sprint after Dewey down the alley.
You got me!
Come on, Mr. Cox, how about it? Come over here!
I'm guilty as charged!
A newspaper has a photo of Dewey in a police car. Dewey sits in a cell twiddling a pencil when a guard approaches.
Cox, you got a visitor.
Dewey sits opposite L'Chaim.
Prison has changed me. I understand the common man in a way I never did before. I gotta get out of here so I can bring joy to the men back in here. But I don't want to live with them.
Lean closer.
He says, I'm going to speak to you in my language so that the guards can't understand what I'm saying. There must be something you can do. I'm 21 years old. I got my whole life ahead of me. We think we can get you off. What do I have to do? You got to go to rehab.
Rehab?
Rehab.
Dewey squints confusedly.
Rehab?
Oh, rehab. Okay, I got you.
In a hospital.
Doctor!
I'm so cold!
We need more blankets!
We need more blankets! Doctor!
I'm so hot!
I think he has too many blankets.
Fewer blankets!
I'm hot and cold at the same time!
He needs more blankets and he needs less blankets.
I'm afraid you're right.
Dewey, my wife sends her love. Asshole.
Dewey, tall and powerful.
Dewey, I don't know if you can hear me in there.
He twitches.
But the wrong key died.
Dewey, do you mind if we get stoned in here?
He can't hear you. He's gonna die anyway.
Sunlight streams into Dewey's room. He sleeps peacefully, holding a book on his chest. Darlene's shadow falls across his body as she sits beside him on the bed.
Are you ready to go home, Dewey Cox?
Darlene.
I could never get you out of my head.
Dewey props himself up.
Me neither. I could never stop thinking about you.
But I wasn't going to be no homewrecker. Now that I'm your only wife, though, it seems different.
I'm a new man, darling. Prison and rehab have changed me. All these blankets have saved my life.
I think you're finally ready to be the man I always thought you could be.
They lean in towards one another, but before their lips touch, Darlene withdraws. She blinks and moves towards him, but he leans back. He leans into her, and she turns away. Numerous times she tries to kiss him, and he moves away, and he tries to kiss her, and she moves away. Finally, he slams her against a wall and kisses her passionately. She violently pushes him away, and he lands leaning on a small table. She rips down his trousers and knees him in the groin.
Let me get this off.
She clubs him in the head with her shoe. They kiss passionately before strangling one another.
I love you, too.
Dewey removes his T-shirt, revealing a preposterously toned six-pack stomach. He shakes his scraggly hair.
Oh, my God.
Berkeley, California, 1966. Children frolic around hippies on the grassy grounds of a large house where a kid's party is underway. Darlene sets out a bowl of chips for the band.
Hey, boys, have you seen Dewey?
I think I saw him in the barn with that long-haired guy.
Oh, yeah, he's talking to Charlie Manson. Oh,
his music is horrible, but he's a really nice guy.
Oh, couldn't be nicer.
He's a nice guy.
She goes inside. Dewey's practicing in their homey living room.
Come on, Dewey. It's almost time for Duman's cake.
All right. It's hard for me to sit around at some birthday party when I know there's so much injustice going on in this world.
I know.
My daddy was right. I can't spend all my time thinking about Dewey Cox no more. I've got to think about the other people.
Like your family?
No, I mean like people that's having injustices done to them.
Like women and midgets and such.
I mean, it's 1966, Darlene. And baby.
Setting down his guitar, he goes to her.
I'm feeling it.
I know. The 60s are an important and exciting time.
Aren't they? It's like there's something happening here. And what it is, ain't exactly obvious. I have to try to help people with my music.
Some people are saying that your new music sounds a lot like Bob Dylan.
Well, maybe Bob Dylan sounds a lot like me. You know, how come nobody ever asked Bob Dylan why you sound so much like Dewey Cox?
Mailboxes drip like lampposts in the twisted birth canal of the Coliseum.
Black and white footage.
Rim job fairy teapots mask the temper tantrum. Oh, say, can you see 'em? Stuffed cabbage is the darling of the laundromat. The mouse with the overbite explained how the rabbit.
What the hell is this song about?
I have no idea.
You guys are idiots. This song is very deep.
Inside the three-eyed monkey, within inches of his toaster oven light.
What do your parents think about your protest songs?
What do your parents think about my protest songs, Mr. Time Magazine?
Outside.
All the elevator buttons, so incredibly high. I stand today for the midget, half the size of a regular guy. Hold you, little man, as the parade passes by. Let me hold you, little man. We'll make believe you can fly. You shout for me to push you down, but I'm marching today for your cause. I'm banging the drum. Your big day will come when they remake the Wizard of Oz.
Midgets watch approvingly.
Oh, let me hold you, midget man. Pretend that you're flying in space. Let me hold you, midget man, so
So the dog will stop licking your face. Sing with me. Na 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 na. Sing it.
Mr. Cox, why are you going to India?
Well, I'm searching for something, if you must know. I'm fixing to do me some meditating with the Maharishi. And Dewey Cox needs India right now, and I reckon India needs Dewey Cox, too.
Dewey meditates with the Maharishi.
Only through meditation can we begin to understand our role.
We're nothing but grains of sand.
That was freaking transcendental, Paul McCartney. Don't you agree, John Lennon?
Yes, Dewey Cox. With meditation, there's no limit to what we can imagine.
What do you think, George Harrison, of the Beatles?
I don't know, you know, I'm just trying to get some more songs on the album,
And as Ringo Starr, I'm not so interested in meditation. I just like to have fun.
I like the little one.
It's so dark in this tent, you know, it reminds me when we, the Beatles, the four Beatles, us.
From Liverpool.
Yes, we are from Liverpool.
We used to play those dark clubs in Hamburg. Remember that, Paul?
Of course I do, I booked them. I'm the leader of the Beatles.
But I have to say, I like your stuff. It's pretty good, and most of your records I really enjoy.
Well, we're big fans of your records, too. We like to think that Hard Day's Night is our guilty as charged.
Great record.
Excellent album. Guilty. We learned a lot from
great
it.
Great record.
Well, we're real big fans of y'all. Huge fans. You guys are almost as good as the Monkees. You guys are great.
I think I might adjourn to another dimension and take some LSD. You care to join me?
Yeah, let's do that.
Care to join us for some LSD, Dewey? It's good for you.
Built by scientists, it is.
Lysergic.
Gotta check with headquarters.
Mum, Dewey Cox, think you might enjoy it. Open up your mind to new experience, a new level of consciousness like we do, because we are the Beatles.
Why don't you just let him decide? If he wants to take LSD, he'll take it. He doesn't have to listen to you. You're not the boss of him.
Don't tell me what to say and what not to say, Paul McCartney.
I'm sick of you being so dark when I'm so impish and whimsical. I'm sick of it.
Hey, everyone, I've got a brand new mantra, Paul's a big fat cunt.
Don't know why you don't let me write more songs. You know? I just sit here while my guitar quietly whimpers.
Well, you are the quiet one, so why don't you shut the fuck up?
I've got a song about an octopus.
Jam it up your ass. You're lucky we still let you play drums.
Wow.
Seems like there's a rift happening between the Beatles.
I wonder if your songs will still be shit when I'm 64.
Great song.
No! Stop it! You stop fighting!
Beatles, please stop fighting here in India.
No, he's let him go. Let him work it out.
Right in the... Dewey, you've been living clean for 3 years now, and it's done you a world of good, has it not?
Look, I know I've had my trouble with drugs in the past, but I'm addicted to coke, weed, booze, lewds, and speed, not LSD. Nobody gets addicted to LSD. It was invented by scientists. Ringo Starr just told me.
I heard that doing LSD can awaken your demons.
I ain't got no demons gonna get woke.
She eyeballs him.
If you promise it'll just be this one time, okay. Let's go drop acid with the Beatles.
Dewey and Paul place acid tabs on their tongues. A cartoon version of the Beatles land in a bright cartoon world on a flying four-seater bicycle.
Hello, Dewey.
Welcome to your LSD trip.
Where everything's a cartoon.
We're the trippy cartoon Beatles.
Look at that! It's a flying fish.
Totally trippy!
Wow, this LSD's all right. I like being a trippy cartoon.
Just keep thinking happy thoughts, Dewey. I'd hate for this to turn into a bad trip.
Uh-oh.
What's that scary music?
I had an unhappy thought.
It's a bad trip.
Bad trip, bad trip.
Help! Trippy machete.
He's cut in half.
Oh, fuck me. I can see my large colon. I guess I do have some demons.
You all right, Cox?
I don't know.
Do you want some more LSD?
Yeah. I think I do.
At home, 8 months later, Darlene stands on the porch with Mr. Schwartzberg.
Mr. Schwartzberg, you're his longtime manager. Maybe you can talk to him.
Well, what's the problem?
He's been on that trampoline for 4 days. You have got to talk some sense into him. I'm worried.
Dewey, as your manager, I have to tell you I'm concerned. I think the LSD has changed you.
It has changed me. It's opened my mind right up. I'm reinventing music. I'm creating something new that I call schmusic.
You've been recording the same song for 8 months. You're not even close to being finished.
That's because this record is different than any other record I've made. I told you. This is going to be my masterpiece. The one I'm remembered by. This one's for my brother.
What brother?
Nothing. Never mind. It's private.
An orchestra plays in a recording studio.
I just close my eyes when I shed the size. Must you, my surprise, I'm only half the size that I used to be.
Long-haired Dewey sings in a separate booth. An African tribe sings and dances. A man plays a didgeridoo. And Sam, unimpressed, clangs a large bell. The rest of the band listen in the booth.
This is not a good song. It's like five songs on top of each other at the same time.
Not even a song. It's some kind of concerto.
Now that the blade has been swung.
Just let him work it out. Masterpieces take time.
Did you hear that? I think that goat's been singing more than I am on this damn song.
Dewey sits at the control board and flicks the song off. He turns around to the others.
It's still not finished yet. I'm hearing more Aboriginal percussionists. And I want an army of didgeridoos. 50,000 didgeridoos!
Folks, can we have a moment with Dewey?
The technicians leave the room.
What the hell are these songs about? You're singing about cutting people in half?
I'm working something out. It's called a metaphor.
Well, what are you working out?
It's secret. That's why it's called metaphor. It's a secret. That's what metaphor means. Secret.
I just don't see why you gotta throw away the recipe is all. I mean, why don't we just go in there, lay down some tracks like we always done?
Yeah, why can't we just walk hard?
Yeah, Dewey, what do we need all these people for?
I don't need people around me stifling me. So if you don't like it, there's the door.
He points to it.
Dewey? Are you saying you don't need us no more?
Not unless you can open your mind and learn to play the fucking theremin.
Sam, Dave, and Theo stare at him.
Fuck you, Dewey!
Yeah, fuck you, Dewey. In 20 years, not once have you thrown a woman my way. You don't think we like cheating on our wives, too?
And you never once paid for drugs. Not once.
You pay that chimp more than you pay us. I had to borrow from the chimp to get a mortgage on my house.
And those stupid Siamese glass cats you get us every year for Christmas. I don't want any more Siamese glass cats.
The Siamese cat is a symbol of nobility in ancient Egypt.
Fuck nobility.
Fuck ancient Egypt. Fuck cats.
And you never paid for drugs. Not once.
You slept with my wife.
You slept with me too. And I've had confused feelings about that for 10 years now.
And you never once paid for drugs.
Not once. You're on your own, Dewey Cox.
We're leaving.
Theo and Dave go.
Well, I guess this is the end of a chapter in your life, Dewey Cox.
Sam glares and goes. Dewey bursts into the gents. Dewey rips the sink from the wall and smashes it onto the floor. Water sprays everywhere. Darlene approaches him in the instrument-filled studio.
What's happened to you, Dewey Cox?
Stay out of this, Darlene!
You're driving away the people who love you most!
I don't need anybody, Darlene. All I need is my music.
This ain't about your music, Dewey. It's about the drugs!
Honey, I told you I'm gonna quit again. Just as soon as the record's done, whenever that might be. Look, you can't rush a masterpiece.
A tribesman enters and leaves again.
You need to take a break, Dewey. You need to clean yourself up. Otherwise...
Otherwise what?
Otherwise, I can't be married to you no more.
He looks shocked.
I know you don't mean that.
I believe you know that I do.
Darlene stares at him fixedly, her eyes heavily outlined with makeup.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
You'll take a break.
I will take a break.
And you'll quit the drugs.
I will quit the drugs.
Dewey! Oh, baby. I've been praying about this day for so long. What did you just put in your mouth?
Gum.
You ain't chewing no gum.
Candy?
What did you put in your mouth?
It's PCP!
Oh, you just said!
His eyes widen.
Wow. I'm going to town!
Dewey races across the street wearing only a white jockstrap. He cuts across the road, stopping traffic.
Ah! The coyote! Hey!
He flips the car over, then tosses a postbox through a coffee shop window. The police officers at the counter run onto the street as cop cars arrive. Dewey punches two officers out of the way and climbs a drain pipe.
Oh, I can feel it.
Officers wave their batons.
Dewey cops! You give me no choice! It breaks my heart! But I'm leaving you!
I'm Zeus! No mortal can stop me! I'm Zeus!
Schwartzberg visits Dewey in jail.
Rehab?
Rehab.
Dewey sits in a tub in a dimly lit room with electrodes attached to his head. An electric shock causes him to splash about. Nate appears in a corner of the room.
Nate!
He turns into a chubby guy.
Nate!
This is what I'd look like if I'd grown up into an adult. And perhaps hadn't have been murdered or whatever. I just came to tell you, you need to get your shit together.
I know. I've fallen again.
Will you listen to yourself? You keep whining like a little bitch. If I was alive right now, I'd be the fucking president of the United States. I'll be on the moon walking around looking for aliens to kill.
What?
You know why Dad liked me better than you? Because I was better than you. When I played the piano, I was fucking awesome.
Well, you think it's been easy for me? Since you're gone, I got no sense of smell.
Oh, you got no sense of smell? You can't smell anything? You can't smell anything? I got no sense of having legs, Dewey. I had no life. I'm dead because somebody, I'm not going to point out names right now, decided to murder me with a machete.
Nate?
I can't even smell, touch, feel. I can't even masturbate. You ever tried to jerk off with a ghost hand? Nothing. Just trying to say, you need to fix this shit. You need to get out of that bathtub. You need to start writing songs again.
Malibu, California, 1976. Dewey, in a headband and tracksuit, jogs down the beach. In a modern beach house, he whizzes fruit in a blender. He sits composing music at a piano. He bangs his fists in frustration.
No! Why can't I write a fucking song anymore? Ah! Yeah!
He smashes his guitar and overturns his blue mini grand. He sits awake in bed with three semi-clad women. In a music room, he places a picture of Darlene next to him, makes some notes, then plucks a harp.
I had it all, I had it all, and then I fucked up, God damn it!
Schwartzy, I don't know what's going on with me. I got the song block.
Song block.
You know what, I don't need to write any new songs. I'll just do my old ones. We'll do an oldies tour. I'll do Walk Hard.
Do we Walk Hard is over 20 years old.
Well, a lot of people like my old songs.
Old people? Like your old songs. May I make a suggestion? I got a call from CBS. They want to do a show with you. Television, Dewey, it's the way into the people's hearts.
Live from Burbank, California, it's the Dewey Cox Show. And now, your host, Dewey Cox.
Walk on.
Lit set pieces spell the word Dewey in front of a studio audience. The letter W rotates and Dewey steps onto the stage carrying a microphone. He struts and sways his hips in time to the backup band playing with him.
Walk on!
Stay tuned. When we come back, Cox sings David Bowie.
Dewey's in a silver spacesuit.
There's a star man waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds.
We'll be right back with more Cox after this.
He rehearses.
I mean, what do I have to do to get you on my bone? Invent fire? And then huge laugh when we go to commercial. All right, take five.
Hey. Great rehearsal, Dewey. Very funny sketch.
Thank you. Schwartzberg, have you seen the ratings? We're getting our ass kicked every week by the Incredible Hulk.
Well, last night's episode was a very special episode. They revealed that the Incredible Hulk has an evil twin. And he's not green. He's red.
I know, it was amazing. Do you see it?
You can't compete with that. But listen, we do need to do more promotion. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to introduce people to the new Dewey Cox. In fact, I got a girl here right now to interview you. She's from the local affiliate in Dallas.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not so good on interviews.
Bobby, it's a puff piece. It's very puffy. All you have to do is remind the audience that you're not mainlining acid anymore. And that the show, it's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun?
Yeah.
And it's on every Thursday night at 8 after the local news.
It's on every Thursday night at 8 o'clock, right after your local news. And I'm not mainlining acid.
Anymore.
Oh, I'm not going to promise that.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
I don't smoke angel dust anymore. So don't be afraid. Something like that.
So why don't you tell us about your new television program?
Well, Gail, it's a variety show. I do a little bit of everything. I do some singing, some dancing, some chatting with the guests, the skits, the monologues, the comedy.
Wonderful comedy.
It really is a lot of fun.
Well, we're going to have more fun when we come back from this word from our sponsors. Don't go away.
She smiles.
Ooh, okay, you know what? I got to tell you, my heart goes out to you. I know what it's like to be on a piece of shit television program because I'm hosting one right now.
Excuse me?
Must want to blow your fucking brains out, I'll bet. I know I do. And we're back with Mr. Dewey Cox, and we're talking about the fun he's having on his show. But right now, let's talk about your lovely wife, Darlene. How's she doing?
Darlene and I separated some years ago, Gail.
Oh, okay. Guess I didn't do my homework.
And to answer your question, I miss her terribly.
Well, that's sweet. Now tell me, why don't we talk about your parents? They've got to be proud of you.
Well, my mom is dead, and my pa and I don't speak to each other, so we're not very close.
She turns to the crew.
We can always cut around this if it gets too pathetic. Tell us about your kids. I know you got a whole slew of them. What's going on with them?
I'm locked in a custody battle at this time. Custody is trying to be forced upon me, which I don't think is right. You know, if you don't want the responsibility of children, you should be able to walk away from that. And apparently a couple of my ex-wives don't feel the same. So, yeah. But wherever my kids are, I'm sure they're watching the Dewey Cox Show on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock right after the local news. And I just wanted to say to everyone out there, I'm no longer mainlining acid or smoking PCP. It's official.
Okay. Why don't we lighten it up just a bit here? Tell me, you're so busy, Dewey Cox. Do you have time to stop and smell the roses?
I've got no fucking sense of smell. All right, I'm done.
All right, okay.
Come on now, folks.
That would have been nice information
research.
To have. Yeah.
Wearing red Y fronts, Dewey pulls a bottle of champagne from the fridge. Turning, he sees his grown-up brother.
Dewey!
Nate?
You were supposed to be double great for the both of us. What the fuck is this bullshit?
I know.
All I'm asking is that you write one masterpiece that is the culmination of your entire life. How hard is that?
I'm empty, Nate. What do I do?
Dewey, who's the one person in your life who's made you feel like shit?
Paul.
You need to talk to him, Dewey.
I don't know.
You need to hug him.
I have been putting this off my entire life. But I think you might be right.
Pa stacks sacks in the barn.
The wrong kid died. Bum, 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 bum.
Hello, Pa.
Pa lets go of the sack he's lifting as Dewey wanders towards him.
What do you want?
I feel like there's some things I need to say to you.
Well, go on. Talk.
I realized that I never really said I was sorry for what happened with Nate. Pa, I've spent my entire life trying to find love with wives and hotel clerks and toll booth attendants and giraffes and monkeys and trampolines and men who dress like women and men who look like you. And I realized the only person I've ever really wanted to love me was you, Pa.
Pa glances down at the straw-covered floor.
Dewey, I don't know what to say.
You don't have to say anything, Pa. I just wanted to come here and tell you that I loved you. And I always have.
Pa frowns at his son.
I appreciate you finding the courage to say that, Dewey. But there's only one way to settle this.
He tosses him a machete.
Machetes.
What?
The right kid is gonna die tonight.
You've been practicing!
Pa swings and Dewey ducks. Pa cuts a wooden ladder in half, then a photo of Nate pinned to a beam. Dewey parries Pa's vertical cut, and they lock blades. Pa headbutts him. Pa knocks Dewey's machete away.
No, Pa. No!
I've been waiting for this for a long time!
You have?
Pa helicopters the blade and makes a horizontal cut, just missing Dewey's abdomen. Pa's eyes widen.
No.
Oh, my goodness. I have myself.
Bob! No, Bob!
Dewey, I guess I never realized until this moment just how easy it is to accidentally cut someone in half.
It is, right?
I'm sorry for blaming you, Dewey. Of course, you didn't mean to cut Nate in half. It's all so obvious now. I should have been a better father to you, Dewey. I wish I spent more time playing catch with you and less time training my body and mind to kill you in a machete fight. You be a better father than I was, Dewey.
I'll try, Paul. It shouldn't be that hard.
In case I don't make it...
Paul, you're gonna make it. It's the 1970s. They got all kinds of new procedures that can attach tops to bottoms now. Hang in there.
Dewey, I love...
Pa's eyes close and his head lolls forward.
You love what? Pa, you love what? Come on, one more word. Now!
Throwing his arms out, Dewey knocks over Pa's legs. Dewey rages in his posh Malibu home. He smashes a pink sink. He smashes his gold records with his guitar and shatters headlights on his car. Angrily, he snips purple hibiscus flowers. He boxes a parlor palm. He madly messes his Zenbox sand with a rake and attacks his tile floor with a pneumatic drill. Dewey rhythmically saws at a blue vinyl couch in his ravaged living room. Sunlight pours in through the glass doors and windows that extend from the floor to the ceiling in a corner of the room. Dewey continues to saw as the sky and room turn dark. In the kitchen, Dewey tears open a drawer and systematically and wearily bends cutlery. The next day, he sits amongst the mess, weeping.
Dad?
A brown-haired boy holds a baseball glove.
Yes. What is it, son?
I was just wondering if you want to have a catch.
A catch?
The boy nods.
Son, there is nothing in this world I want more than to have a catch with you. So forgive me. This is going to sound strange, but what is your name again?
I'm Dewey Jr., but my friends call me Dewdrop.
Well?
Dewey gets up.
It's nice to formally meet you, Dewdrop. So, this is Catch. This is what I've been missing out on all them years on the road, huh? I like it. It's wonderful. You throw it to me, I throw it back to you. It's so simple. And yet, so powerful. Boy, you're really terrible at this game.
Well, I mean, you never really played with me before. How am I supposed to learn? Boy needs a dad.
Yes, he does. Well, I reckon we got some lost time to make up, you and me. And all your brothers and sisters, too. How many of you are there now?
22 brothers and sisters. And also 14 half-brothers and half-sisters.
Holy shit. This may take a while.
He plays catch with another boy.
That's real good.
Another boy hits him in the guts with the ball.
So beautiful.
He throws the ball to a blonde girl, an auburn-haired boy, a black boy, and an Asian-looking teen.
Are you sure you're one of mine?
The Asian teen smiles. He throws underhand to a small blonde girl. Missing his catch, he clownishly stumbles back. A different blonde girl giggles at his antics. Smiling, he looks in the rearview mirror at his horde of children roughhousing in the back of the bus. They shear a sheep. He plays catch. He crouches in an allotment with toddlers.
Go ahead and taste some dirt. That's good dirt. That's good dirt.
On the surface, Macbeth is about revenge. But what is the subtext? A power struggle for the Scottish royal family. That's what it is. I just gave you this. That one's a mulligan.
In the sunshine, his shaggy brown hair blows in the breeze as he plays catch with various children. Now older, with white hair and shades, he plays catch in a park with a shaggy-haired teenager. Missing his catch, he runs to get the ball that rolls, stopping at an older-looking Darlene's feet. She carries a large box.
Hello, Dewey.
Darlene?
It's Dewey's birthday. I brought her a present. It's a bracelet.
How's Glenn Campbell?
He and I split up a long time ago.
Really?
It's just me these days. At age 50.
Would you care to take a walk with me, Darlene Madison?
She smiles.
Well, I haven't been playing too much music the last few years. I realize now I wasn't much of a father when I was out on the road. Now, this is what makes me happy. Not the music, not getting high. Just my family. That's all I care about. And that family is missing one piece, Darlene. My God, you're as beautiful as the day I met you.
Their mouths hover inches apart as they lean in for a kiss, then pull away.
You don't want this, dirty old Cox.
Oh, I want it more than ever.
She throws her arms around him and rests her head on his chest.
Did you wash your hair today?
I sure did. How could you tell?
It smells terrific.
She steps back and they stare into each other's eyes. Dewey's face creases as if he's about to cry.
I smelt it.
You mean?
I smelt it. I can smell again. I smelled it. I smelled you.
Smell it.
Oh, you've been driving a while. I smelled it. I smelled it. I smelled it, God.
It's a miracle.
I smell you flowers. I smell you twig.
He sniffs a clump of manure.
I smell horse shit.
He lies on the grass with the manure in his open palms.
It's horrible. But I can smell it.
Smell that shit, baby.
I smelled it.
Dewey, now 71, bends over to smell a rose as his mixed-race grandson, Dewey Rahim, looks on.
Anyway, that's when I learned that quaaludes and water skiing do not mix. Now, you remember that.
How come you did all of that stuff, Grandpa?
Well, Dewey Rahim, I'll tell you. I was young and stupid then. I didn't understand a lot of things. I think it had to do with how I was reared as a boy. But, you know, I got no complaints. It's been a beautiful ride.
A beautiful ride?
Dewey Sr. looks wistfully towards the sky.
A beautiful ride.
Dewey, sweetheart, there's someone here to see you.
A Hasidic Jew with a thick black beard.
Mr. Cox.
Dewey squints at the man.
I'm sorry, have we met?
You worked with my father, Kvetcher Lechaim.
You're Mr. Lechaim's boy?
Dreidel Lechaim, that's me.
Well, it's nice to see you again, Dreidel Lechaim.
The pleasure's all mine. Listen, Mr. Cox, there's something I want to show you. I never
rock a fella. The family watch a rap video for which Dewey's music has been sampled. Must be those pair double D's that got a nigga sitting rock hard in his jeans. Time to play, make your mouth into a whole new. Tell me how I feel when I'm rocking it for you.
Hard.
Mr. Lechaim, how could you allow them to do such a thing with my husband's music?
Through the roof he's selling, Lil Nutzek. That's the rapper, sweet kid. Anyway, he's introduced a whole new generation to the magic of Dewey Cox. You could even play together, Cox and Lil Nutzek, what a package. Anyway, as if that was not enough, they're gonna give Dewey the Lifetime Achievement Award next month.
Gray-haired Dewey removes his glasses.
The Lifetime Achievement Award?
Baby. That's wonderful.
You go on TV, they give you the award, you play a song, it's a magical
whoa,
thing.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I can't go on TV and play.
What? Why not?
Why, Grandpa?
Hell, I'm 71 years old. I don't even know if I can rock no more.
Well, of course you can rock, sweetheart.
Of course you can rock, sweetheart.
Well, I don't know that I can rock. And besides that...
He looks into Darlene's eyes.
I gave that life up for a reason. I'm afraid of the temptations, darling.
You can do it, Dewey. I know you can. Just go out there and sing your song.
He looks at Dreidel, who smiles.
I'm gonna need my band.
Dewey hobbles up to Dave's ramshackle Airstream trailer. Dave opens the door. Dewey nods and Dave punches him in the jaw, laying him on his back. Dave's bald down the middle with a shock of white hair on either side of his head. He helps Dewey up. Sporting the same hairstyle as Dave, Theo opens his front door and throws his arms around Dewey. With the same hair again, Sam opens his front door, and Dewey hands him a huge bag of marijuana. At the concert...
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jewel, Maya Lovett, and Jackson Brown.
Walk on. Down like Rocky Road.
chicks approach Dewey backstage.
Hi. Hey there.
Hello.
Oh, he is so cute. What are you doing later, Dewey?
Dewey takes a deep breath.
I am returning to the hotel with my family. Good night to you.
They watch him hobble away.
He fucked my grandma. That's awesome.
Ghostface Killer!
Walking hard, I'm a real hard walker. Fast in the trigger and a smooth talker. My guns pop out like a jack in the box. I cut you in half like Dewey Cox. My skin stays scarred, you can ask God. Lots of ladies unsnap they bras.
Sam's flirting with three women.
Sam, what are y'all doing in here?
Dewey, get out of here. You don't want no part of this shit.
What is it?
It's medication for erectile dysfunction. It gives you a boner. Not to be used if you have a pre-existing heart condition. If boners last for more than 4 hours, call more ladies.
Well, that does sound tempting. But you know what, Sam? I really don't want no part of that shit.
Did you hear what I said? It gives you a boner.
Hate to let you down, old friend, but I don't want to succumb to the temptations.
My girl.
Dewey walks into the backstage area where the singing group, The Temptations, are rehearsing.
The Temptations!
He scurries off. Eddie Vedder addresses the audience.
We heard him sing about walking hard, and we learned a little something about how we wanted to walk. What do we think about when we think about Cox? He's been called the drifter, also the shapeshifter, the master chef, the chameleon, the problem child, the hard one, the white Indian, the giant midget. If Elvis and Buddy Holly are the Cain and Abel of rock and roll, and Bruce Springsteen is Zachariah, Iggy Pop is Methuselah, and of course Neil Young is the wise prophet Ezekiel, then what does that make Dewey Cox? Well, I don't know what God...
Mr. Cox? But I'm willing to bet that when I don't want to rush him, but he goes on in a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my great honor to introduce, for the first time on stage in 25 years, performing his final masterpiece that will sum up his entire life.
Mr. Cox?
The one, the only.
I'm ready.
Mr. Dewey Cox.
The audience rises and claps as Darlene, wearing a pink Empire Line dress, guides a besuited Dewey onto the stage. A camera rises at the foot of the stage as Dewey stands before a microphone, acoustic guitar in hand.
Thank you very much for that, ladies and gentlemen.
You'll forgive me if I'm a bit rusty. This is the first song I've written in a very long time. I hope you enjoy it.
Now that I have lived a lifetime's worth of days, finally I see the folly of my ways. So listen when I sing of the temptations of this world, fancy cars and needles, whiskey, flesh and pearls. And then in the end, it's family and friends, loving yourself, but not only yourself. It's about the good walk and the hard walk and the young girls you made cry.
Miles the Monkey sits in the audience wearing a blonde wig.
It's a beautiful ride.
A montage sequence begins with Dewey as a child riding the tractor. A tear rolls down an adolescent Dewey's face as he leaves the family home with Edith. As a young man, he's held at knife point by Elvis. Strumming a guitar, he strolls through a sun-drenched field with his many children. Finally, he delivers Sam's baby.
As I stand on the precipice of death, my perspective is enormous. Every leaf, every cloud, I see the hands which have formed us. And some days all you got is a nighttime graveyard walk.
The ghosts from his family watch from the wings.
To the ghost down at the door.
Smiling, Nate gives him the finger.
Singing to your hand.
In the audience, Schwartzberg slumps back dead in his seat.
Don't you let him fade your...
His ghost joins the Cox family in the wings.
Cause when all is said and done, When youth is spent and burned, you'll see that it's all about music, flowers, babies, sharing the good times, traveling not just for business, accepting your mortality. This is finally what I.
Gail lap dances for Dewey on his talk show. Dewey sits beside his father's torso in the barn. They both sing and play instruments. Tribesmen dance in a studio. Dewey uses Theo as a human shield in a shootout at an abandoned warehouse.
It's about making little music every day till you die. It's a beautiful ride.
A distraught Dewey tears a row of sinks from the wall of a public toilet. At a nude love-in, a seated Dewey turns from his friend to see a man's wrinkly penis hovering just feet away from his face. He clinks beer bottles with the man. The crowd goes wild as a huge lighting rig silhouettes Dewey in its dazzling glare. The light fades and the image freezes as Dewey proudly raises a hand to salute the audience. A caption reads, "Dewey died 3 minutes after this performance." Duford Randolph Cox, 1936 to 2007.